The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Hyundai. Now offering 5 years free servicing on every new 142 Hyundai. Ireland's fastest growing car brand.
Next, we're going to hear from a man who does, I think he certainly does, have the secret of happiness. When I was on this programme last summer, I spent a magical morning on the River Liffey with Jimmy Murray, and lots of you got in touch afterwards to let us know how much you'd enjoyed listening to his stories about the river and the city and just his general love of the water. Well, Jimmy also does trips around Dublin Bay, so I couldn't resist the chance this summer to meet Jimmy Murray again, and this time Owen Sweeney and myself met up with him at the Ringsend Marina, except instead of turning left and heading up the River Liffey, we turned right and headed out into Dublin Bay.
South of the channel marks out towards the bay, if that's okay to proceed over.
Yeah, that's fine. Keep clear of all the traffic in the fairway at the moment.
So, Anya, the purpose of this wall here is the Great Sow Wall, because many, many years ago, the early 1700s, the sand would actually move from the south and actually block off the channel. So, there's big sand dunes right out here in the bay. So, at low water, the ships couldn't get up to the city. Captain Bligh carried out the first navigation survey of...
Captain who?
Captain Bligh. You know Captain Bligh, Mutiny on the Bounty?
Yeah.
He carried out the first navigation survey of the bay. Finished around, I think, it was 1765.
And the Liffey doesn't silt up with sand anymore?
Oh, the Liffey continuously silts up, but they have big dredgers comes in every couple of years and deepens the channels. That's why it's very important that ships stay between the channel marks, and boats going out for leisure will stay well outside the channel marks, stay in the safe zones, travelling in and out of port. But when the sand stopped, the wall was a great success. So fantastic, no more sand, because the sand had to go somewhere. So it gathered all here and started coming in from the north side. So they decided to build the North Pole Wall. So when they built the North Pole Wall, the sand still continued, and then you eventually got Bull Island. So Bull Island is a natural formation of the sand building, and still growing today.
And it's nature's answer.
Nature's answer, yeah. So any alterations you make along the coast has an effect somewhere else along the coast. Normally if you come out here at low water, you'd see all the seals just at the start of the islands here. Now when we go up Docky Island now, they've just completed a new access to Docky Island. This is the Martello Tower, isn't there? They're all around the east coast. They were built during the Napoleon times. And this old church there, just down from the hill, the St. Begna's Church, built in 1836.
And look, there are people on it there today.
There's a local man here. He's going to start running from the Collymore Harbour here. Back and forward to the island. So,
and again, it's using the bay. It's using something like most Dubliners. I've driven up and down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've maybe gotten the ferry out and either zip past it, but you Dublin looks totally different from the sea and stunningly beautiful.
It's amazing. This is the jewel in the crown for Dunleary right now, Docky Island. But there's never been any formal access or official access to it. But now with the new access, now new steps and slipways there. So. That's all now starting to come
into trend. So it's not just about developing the port, and when we go back in we look at all the work that's going on there, like the commercial heart of the city, but also to get the people of the city using it more.
Exactly. When people come in around the bay, they look for more and more things to do. Is there more access to the water? What can we see? What can we do? What sort of wildlife is there? You know, like
and
the
it's
stories.
All about the right balance, you know, getting people out to Docky Island but maintaining the wildlife and keeping it safe.
Yeah, and that's why all the protocols will be in position, you know, to make sure that there's only so many people landed and that there's certain areas they can walk in and certain areas they can't walk in.
Look, Jimmy, it's magic. The sun, the water sparkling, the boats, the island.
Fantastic. You'll see, we'll go around the island and you'll probably see the goats and you'll see some hares and that. And we might come across some porpoises just around the Cliny Bay,
okay.
So we'll head around that way.
Okay, cool.
Oh,
there he is!
You see them now in a couple of minutes. Did you see them?
Yes!
Where did you spot them there?
Just there.
Oh yeah, just off to the left. Should we head over towards them? That's them there, They're right beside us now.
Oh God, Jimmy, this is better than fungi, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. There, Dad, just...
Look! How do you know that's not a dolphin?
Oh, it's small. We know by the colour. They're small porpoise. The dolphins are, you know, three times bigger than that. Huge.
They've turned around. They're going away now.
Well, here they are.
Oh my God, he's right beside us.
Yeah, there's one here, look at, right beside us there. He's just gone under the boat. Here we are, look at this fella. Look at those two of them.
You can see the silvery underside.
But see, this is what children enjoy when they see animals like this in the sea. Big children, adults
children
who want to
like
be children.
Me.
Yeah, adults who want to be children for a day. And you're an adult, you can go and be a child.
I was just thinking, it's like going to visit Santa when you were a kid or something.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
Exactly. This is beautiful, isn't it? You might as well be in the south of France now today. It's absolutely beautiful.
This is where all the rich people live, yes, isn't it, Jimmy?
Yeah. Enya has a house here. Oh, there's so many people, so many wealthy people and so many famous people live out here in Dalkey. In the summertime, you have all the yachts moored here and everybody's just having a little picnic on the yacht and doing a bit of fishing and swimming. It's like the girl with the little curly in the front of her hair. When she's good, she's very, very good. And when she's bad, she's wicked. And that's the way the weather is here. When it's good, it's very, very good. But when it's bad, it's wicked.
And people always have to remember to take care.
But when the fog comes down, we were here one day and the fog... It was amazing when the fog came in. I just rolled down as if it was the sea coming down Killiney Hill there. I just come down, that's just engulfed the whole place, just closed it off. It was amazing, turned everything to, you know, we're in 15 feet, you say, oh my God, where the hell are we? So you have to really know your area. Fog can be as dangerous as wind.
But at the moment, it's so beautiful today.
So beautiful.
I feel as if I could reach out and touch Bono's front door.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. Kish Lighthouse out there now, see it?
Oh, yes.
See in the distance? Kish Lighthouse. That's where the Leinster was sank during the First World War. There's more people lost their lives, more Irish people lost their lives on the Leinster than the Lusitania and the Titanic put together. And she's just 6 miles beyond that. She was bombed.
How was it sunk?
U-boat. German U-boat sank her. So.
This close to Dublin?
Yeah, mail boat, yeah. She was just off the coast. She was the mail boat from Dunleary. So it's just up, just beyond the Kish. That's where she lies there today. So this here is the Mugglin Islands, and you can see all the bird life on the islands, the gulls, the terns, some guillemots, and you have cormorants and shags, which are closely related to the cormorant, and you have the black gulls here. And you get a lot of seals just around the corner here in the island. Now, you're going to have to forgive me, but there was two pirates hung on this island. Gibney was one, and I can't think of the other man's name, but they were part of four people that was hung in Newmarket back in the early 18th century for murder and piracy. And they were brought to Ringsend, and the bodies were hung there. And then the people of Ringsend kicked up, get them out of here. And they were brought out to the Mugglin Islands here. They were chained to gibbets on the island, and they were left there so that the sailors going by would be brought close to say, this is what happens when there's piracy on the boat. So there was very little piracy after that. And the east coast of Ireland coming to Dublin on the ships. Okay guys, we head back towards Dublin because the wind is starting to pick up. So hold on. So this is the Pigeon House Harbour, a very famous place, and that's the Pigeon House Hotel. And it's called after a family came here in 1760, a man called John Pigeon. And they used to live in the blockhouse here on the wall, and his job was really to look after all the tools while the Great South Wall was being built. Now they were a very enterprising little family because people would be coming down with horse and carts and to see development of the port, and people would be sailing over from Dunleary in the little boats. He bought a boat,
yeah.
Painted a nice orange colour, and he used to row down and to the Pigeon House and show them the development of the port. So they used to earn a few shillings, and then she decides to bake a few cakes and make a cup of tea and a few sambos, and so she got a few bob. There's two little daughters helped her here, but eventually 1790 they built this hotel. It's designed by Norman Poole. It's a beautiful three-story building, and it has its own little oval room at the very base of it.
It's a gorgeous building.
So that was the Pigeon House. But the famous thing about the harbour, the pigeons being so enterprising, a few guys on the boat one night that come in decided to rob the family because they knew they had money.
Yeah.
So they attacked him with swords, and young Ned tried to defend the family. He was a teenager, and he was slashed so bad that he bled to death. And the mother and father were so distressed, within a couple of months of each other died, leaving the two young girls here, Rachel and Bridget Pigeon, here in the Pigeon House Harbour, defending for themselves. But the first East Coast rescue that was ever recorded in the British Journal took place from the Pigeon House Harbour from a 14-foot boat, and the two girls rowed out in the gale and saved the father and son a man from Philadelphia, an American. So they nursed him back to health, and he fell in love with the eldest girl, and he took the two girls away from the Pigeon Nose Harbour to America, where Rachel met her husband in the United States. So I'm trying to trace all that little story. You can imagine two young girls being here, you know, and the tall ships and hundreds of people, like, you know, and they weren't the best of characters. So you have so many soldiers and so many sailors. I'd say a tough old life for them, you know what I mean? But it was a very productive harbour, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it, Farrah. Yeah, that's all clear, Jimmy. Nothing moving at the moment, over.
That's great. Thanks very much, Cease Farrah. You know me by name. There he is there, Ronnie Joe.
And so the whole crane, I mean, I'm looking at, how tall is that crane? A couple, 200 foot, 200 foot?
Yeah, easy, yeah.
And it's basically, the base of it, which is a good 50 feet tall, is painted with a giant Ronnie Drew face in black, white and grey. It's lovely, actually. Tell me how he ended up there.
And Ronnie Drew had only died, and Dublin Stevedores owned this crane, and he was obviously loved Ronnie Drew, and so decided to call the crane the Ronnie Drew.
It's a good tribute, isn't it?
It certainly is, it certainly is.
Fare thee well, sweet Anna Liffey, I can no longer stay and watch the new glass cages that spring up along the cave.
That's the scrapyard there, just ahead of us, so that's where all the scrap of the old prams and cars go and get melted down and come back as new
it's
cars.
It's like the bowels of the city on the way in, you know, there's the sewage treatment, there's the scrapyard, is that tarmac there?
That's all the slag from the big furnaces in Germany and that gets broken down and it's mixed down with an eco-friendly product, which then you have what's called an eco-friendly cement.
Oh,
yeah, and it's going to be a growth industry for the future.
There's Ronnie Drew in the middle of it all.
In the middle of it all.
I only got a glimpse of it last year when we went up the Liffey, you know, up under the bridges and stuff like that. But seeing the port today and going out around the bay, it's stunning, it really is. And it's kind of a natural heart and a commercial heart. It's got both side by side,
It's great when we're doing a tour. We do a port tour, and it's great when you bring children up along the port and they're close to the ships. And it's all done safely, because once you radio in on Channel 12, port control, they will allow you to move or they'll ask you to hold back to allow ships, you know, get clear of the walls. So, and it's a safe way of communication, and you're safe, they're safe. And then also it then allows you to come along and look at the ships being loaded, the containers and the crane drivers, you know, loading on an...
They're like floating skyscrapers, aren't they? They're enormous. Amazing. They're huge going by them.
Amazing. It's great to see them. And so many people work within the port.
Jimmy, that's brilliant. But if I don't get my hands around a cup of coffee soon, my fingers are going to freeze.
As the light declines, I'll remember Dublin City in the rare old times.
You see, Ronnie Drew, Jimmy Murray, Dublin Bay, you couldn't ask for any better. It was an absolutely gorgeous morning. And while I'm here over the next couple of weeks, we're going to try and get out and about around the country. We're not just confined to Dublin. One of the things I'm hoping to do maybe for next week is to do something, again, I've always wanted to do. I think a lot of Irish people have always thought, oh yes, one of these days I must do a Burren Walk and find out why it's so fantastic and so successful and a UNESCO World Heritage Site and all the rest of the things that it is. So that's going to be our project for next week. And in a couple of weeks, we're hoping to be in Cork, and you know, maybe again we look, because Cork is interesting, isn't it? You've the whole business of they're much better in ways than Dublin at living by the sea and exploiting the sea, but also they know the downside of having so much water all around them with all the flooding and all the rest. So that might be something that we talk about there. If you want to get in touch with Jimmy Murray, it's csafari.ie, csafari.ie. And we're going to be talking to Nevin Maguire, the chef of the year, after this break.